Good morning, everybody. We'll be continuing in our journey through the book of Isaiah today, and today we'll be reading Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, and I shall read that for us. Isaiah 9, 1 through 7. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden, and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. All right, so in today's passage, we see Isaiah prophesy a few big promises to Israel. Now, Isaiah has this tendency to switch from some really heavy, fear-inducing stuff, as he tells Israel about all the tragedy and subjugation that they've earned for themselves. And he switches to hopes and promises of hope and restoration. And I think this is really intentional because it contrasts the brightness of God's grace and persistent love for his people against the darkness of their sin. In the chapter prior, Isaiah had just revealed to the Israelites that because of their continued sin, the Lord will bring up against them the Assyrians, and that there is an Assyrian invasion that is coming that will bring great destruction and grief to Israel. Now, this is obviously quite terrible news, but in our passage today, Isaiah describes a light at the end of the tunnel. In fact, the source of hope that Isaiah introduces is quite possibly one of the most significant prophecies in the Old Testament. Isaiah promises the Israelites that there will be a great light for the people who walk in darkness, and that this light will bring great rejoicing and will break the yoke and staff and rod of the oppressor. And, finally, that this light will come in the form of a child. You know, the Advent season is right around the corner, and today's passage, this prophecy from Isaiah, is really the Christmas message. It tells of this child of light being born, this son being given to us who will bring joy and hope to the darkness. The baby Jesus coming into our world as an infant, which gives us reason to celebrate Christmas. We actually read this passage during our Christmas Eve service a few years ago, and I remember at the time really not thinking much about it at first glance. After all, it's a passage from the Bible that talks about Jesus, not exactly super uncommon. But as we reflected on this passage a little bit more, I realized just how amazing Isaiah's words really were. Think about it. Thousands and thousands of years before Jesus was born to Mary and Joseph in a small manger in Bethlehem, Isaiah was pointing to him. He was telling people, hey, this will be the light that finally brings us out of darkness. This child will be our counselor, our prince of peace. He will, at long last, reign over us forever. Isaiah, as boldly as he possibly could, was telling the Israelites who are facing invasion and death and sorrow to put their hope in a child. This morning, as we reflect on the wonder of Christ, I'm humbled to think that of all the ways God chose to meet us, he chose to come in the form of a child. He could have been a pillar of fire like in Exodus, or a rushing wind, or a booming voice. He could have come in dazzling robes and split the sky open to show everyone that he had arrived. But no, he came as a baby. He came as a son. He came without much fanfare. He came into the world like every single one of us came into the world. Our Father loved us so deeply that he was willing to lower himself to become man. He was willing to rest the entire hope of humanity on a newborn infant. Christmas is still a ways away, but the reality of the hope that was introduced to our world starting from that day rings true always. We can always celebrate the fact that the words that Isaiah spoke to Israel all those years ago has come true. And through Jesus, we live in the promise of a future of joy and peace. You know, one thing that really caught my attention, even when I heard it for the first time at that Christmas Eve service, while we were reading through this passage, the word government came up a couple times. And I thought that was kind of an interesting word to use in the middle of this prophecy, in the middle of this really grand revelation. Government seems like a word that doesn't really fit that theme. But the more I reflected on it, the more I looked into it, I realized that this government is the realization of the kingdom of God. That this government has Jesus on the throne. It has God reigning over us and making all things as they should be, where everything is in order. It's a great promise that we can depend on, because it is a promise that everything is as it should be, that everything is going to be the way that God wants it in full. That is the hope that Jesus brings to us, this eternal life with him in the kingdom. So this morning, let's take some time to thank him for that. Let's go to him in prayer and thank him for this promise and look forward to the hope that is to come. Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you that you came to us to save us. That you came as a child so that you can experience the temptations of man, but not fall into them. That the weight of sin can be borne on one man's shoulders. Lord, would this reality really strike us? Would we consider you and crown you Lord over our lives? Call you Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Continue to work in us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.